Welcome back to the Pistols Firing Podcast, back by popular demand. Joining me is Kyle Porter, founder, editor emeritus of PistolsFiringBlog.com. I come up with a new name every week, Kyle.
You enjoy that, don't you? It is back by popular demand. Not as popular as Evan Epstein, apparently. Did you see? Is he starting his own show? What's the deal with this?
I think he's leaving us, man. I think he's found his calling, and it's fine. We can just kind of shepherd him into his. His calling, we kind of opened the door for him. We'll let him walk through it. I guess he put out a tweet saying he was going to start a podcast.
Yeah, and he got a lot of feedback, and I think it's great. And he, you know, it was interesting because I was scrolling through. I think he tweeted this at somebody or something, and he just said that being on our podcast made him realize how much he enjoyed talking about this stuff. So that's cool. I like that. We're just launching careers.
Well, we should have him on before he leaves us in the dust. Yeah, have him back. He was great. He was fantastic. I think we got Wally pipped. I think everyone hates us and likes him. So maybe we can join his podcast in the future.
Yeah, exactly. He'll give us a courtesy invite.
I can't remember what he does for a living, but if he pays me well enough, I'll record it for him and put it out there for him for a small fee.
We'll look into that. Carson, where are you headed this weekend? What are you doing for football this weekend?
The game between OU and Texas Tech is on ABC again. So much like last week against Kansas State, we're having a post-game show on Channel 5 right after the OU-Texas Tech game, which is simultaneous with the OSU game. So as much as I love Kansas football, I will not be able to watch the OSU game live.
And no homecoming for you either.
No homecoming. That's the one downer. I love going back when all the house decks are up. There's just a buzz in Stillwater during homecoming week. And it's some of my fondest memories of being in college there at OSU was homecoming weekend. So that's sad. Although what's your stance on house decks? I've always kind of thought they look great, but I was in a house and they're just a waste of money, aren't they? Couldn't all that money they spend be better served going to like a charity or something?
Yeah, this is not going to be a popular take probably, but I think homecoming is a little overrated. And the reason I say
lose my number. Don't call me again.
The reason I say that is because I feel like people rate it so highly, and I think that like I actually have a positive spin on this. I think every weekend at Oklahoma State in terms of football stuff is sort of underrated. Like Oklahoma State's a really good place to tailgate. I've been to Florida, I've been to LSU, all these different places, and Oklahoma State's right there. I mean, it's much better than Florida, and it might not be as good as a place like LSU, but it's really good. And so I just feel like we sort of overrate homecoming and underrate every other week of the season.
I'm with you on all that. I think OSU is very underrated when it comes to tailgating and all that. But don't you think homecoming, it gets ratcheted up to just unprecedented levels throughout the year?
Yeah, it is fun. And for me, the later in the year, the better. I don't need I don't need to be like sweating like 97 degrees outside when it's homecoming. Like it's supposed to be sort of like the baptism of fall, I guess, in Oklahoma or whatever. So, yeah, I think it's great. I love it. So, some of my best memories are from homecoming, you know, at Oklahoma State. And, yeah, I go back and forth on the house decks. It's like it's sort of like, do we need NASA? Like, do we need a space program? Like, is that necessary? I don't know. Maybe not. But it's fun, and it can inspire people and pick people's spirits up, and I don't know, it's good for camaraderie, I think.
Well, the good thing is they're going to win this year on homecoming. I remember a few years when we were in college where that was not the case. So these kids got it so easy these days at OSU.
Did you see what Kansas's coach said about Oklahoma State?
Did he say they were the 2007 Patriots,
basically.
Like, is that what he said?
Combined with the 85 Bears. I mean, it was unbelievable the things he was saying. I wrote a post on it, but you know, their offensive line is explosive. I'm worried about their running game as much as the passing game. I mean, is he what team is he looking at?
He probably wants a job in Stillwater. Plus, if you're the head coach of Kansas, you can't talk about your team. You just got to pump up the other team. What's he going to say? I got 60 guys. I got nothing. Charlie Weiss left me with nothing.
What's the worst FBS Power 5 conference job? Is it Kansas? It's got to be up there.
Kansas is up there. That would take some thinking. There's got to be a Big Ten job that's worse, right? Like Indiana, is Indiana worse?
I don't love Rutgers as a job.
They were top 10 one year under Schiano, weren't they?
Well, so Kansas was top 10 7 years ago.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what's sort of an underrated bad job is Vanderbilt.
Oh, Vanderbilt's impossible to win at. Yeah, that might be the worst job, actually. Because you're in the SEC on top of being just a terrible – I've been to that campus. I was there – I think my high school soccer team, we had a tournament in Nashville, and we got to tour the campus or whatever, and we were just like, this is an SEC school? Like, this is it? Like, it looked like a bigger version of a high school. And it's amazing they play SEC football there. And it's amazing that Jay Cutler went there, too. NFL quarterback played at Vanderbilt.
Well, I was watching the they were playing Georgia earlier this year. And I don't know that I've actually ever seen a game televised, like, at Vanderbilt. Like if you ever see them, it's because they're playing at Tennessee or whatever. I didn't even know what their field looked like. I mean, it sort of was like just – it reminded me of kind of Georgia Tech, like downtown Atlanta. You're just like, they just jammed this football field in here. I don't know. That's what it felt like. But
I think Vanderbilt's the worst. I think you nailed it.
Yeah, it's not a great job.
Not great.
Okay, so we're going to do something a little different today, aren't we?
We're going to pull a Jacko off Bill Simmons' podcast and cold call a couple buddies.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, we are.
Who are we calling first?
Well, I think we're going to go with our buddy Matt Emilian first. We haven't it's been probably the least I've communicated with him.
Does he still contribute to the blog? What's up with that? Are you guys fighting?
He's got a kid now.
You got like three.
Yeah, I know, but he's soft and he's got a lot of excuses.
It's his first one, so he's just all in. He'll get bored with the second or third probably.
Yeah, he'll be back in a couple of years.
Well, he tweeted us that he felt left out because he heard that we were going to cold call OKC Dave on the last podcast, and he actually tweeted us feeling left out. So he's going to think this call is a courtesy call just to make him feel good. We can do that though.
Yeah, and it's not. I mean, we were planning on doing this all along. Hold on, let me dial him up.
No, we were. That's the funny thing. He like sensed that we needed to call him. What if he screens your call?
It does when you call from Skype like we're doing. It does call from a weird number. Okay,
I think it says unknown.
Well, it's from like California or something.
Hello, this is Matt.
Emilian?
Yeah.
Hey, do you know who this is?
I can't tell.
Do you know who the other person on the line is?
Hey, Matt.
Oh, dude, did I get the cold call?
You are on the podcast, Matt, and we didn't just call you because you tweeted us. We were planning on calling you all along.
Sure. I'll pretend to believe that. I am so honored.
Well, we haven't heard from you in like months, maybe years. What have you been feeling about this football season?
I know. I feel like I inadvertently went MIA and made a comment on one of the recent PFB posts. Somebody on there, you're alive? And I was like, I didn't realize I was that well known. PFB world.
Have you ever been
at an event at Topgolf the other day, and the guy managing our floor at Topgolf was like, he even brought it. He's like, don't you do some stuff for pistols firing? And I was like, gosh, they just, once you get labeled pistols firing, it never goes away.
That's awesome. Is that the first time that you have been recognized like as a public figure?
No, it's not. I've occasionally different customers I call on run into some diehard OSU fans, and when they say they recognize my name, typically that means either my dad is their dentist or they read Pistol Fire.
No in between.
That's awesome.
Well, are you fired up for Kansas, Matt? Where are you at with the OSU season so far? They're undefeated, but what's your take on the team?
So I've gotten over the whole our offense is not 2011. And actually, I like this version of the team. That's a lot of fun to watch. But at the same time, you're like, how often do we get to brag about a defensive line that we have, and like just a force on the defensive side of the ball. And yeah, it's frustrating the other way around, but I'm trying to enjoy it. It's different, but nothing to get too excited yet. 7-0 is going to be nice. I'm just pumped for November. I think November is just going to be a blast as a college football fan.
What's been your the most enjoyable game that you've watched so far?
I feel like there's not a whole lot to choose from as far as enjoyable or exciting. I'm going to go with West Virginia. Kansas State was there too, although I had Axel at the Kansas State game, and that distracted me quite a bit. But West Virginia's going to go down for me as the most exciting one at this point.
Were you supportive of the fourth down call, or were you hoping they were going to kick a field goal? It was kind of controversial at the time, but since it worked, no one really talks about it.
Yeah, if they get stopped, I don't know. Usually I have an opinion one way or another before the play, and I don't remember being strongly for it or against it. I think it was a toss-up, and being on the road, I think it's the right choice.
I
haven't heard your guys' breakdown of this, so I'm kind of speaking without getting your feedback, but what did you guys think of it?
Well, we already talked about it on the podcast. I know you don't listen to it because you kind of moved on, but I'm like you. I don't remember how I felt beforehand, so it's hard to have a take. I can't even remember what I said on the podcast. I said I think I disagreed with it at the time, but
I thought it was crazy in the moment, but the way Gundy was talking about how tired his defense was, he knows his team better than I do. I was watching in a car driving back from I don't remember what week that was. I was driving back from Dallas from the Cotton Bowl, so I didn't even realize the defense was that tired. So Gundy knew better than I did, and he went with the right call, obviously.
Yeah, you could tell they were starting to wear down throughout the game. West Virginia was able to run the ball a lot better towards the end than they were early on. So, yeah, that's a good point.
Who's been your favorite player from this year's team? I feel like there's a lot of sort of standout personalities. Who have you kind of gravitated to the most?
I don't like to just be part of the majority. I try to like go against the grain a little bit, but it's really hard to not call Ogbah my favorite player. I mean, like I was saying earlier.
Wait, say that again.
I said I like to go against grain.
No. Say Ogbah's name again.
Emmanuel Ogbah.
He says it like Gundy.
Ogbah with a W on the end. That wasn't as Gundy.
I get made fun of the way I say a lot of certain things. Like I used to say in Atlanta. You're like, what's Atlanta? Like, whatever. Like, yes, that's, you know what I'm talking about. Cool. I'm glad you guys brought me on to make fun of me. This is fun. I'm enjoying.
Are you going to homecoming?
That's still up in the air. Trying to figure out what to do with the kiddo. Would bring him again. OSU games, and I think a lot of other games, you have to have a ticket for every human being. So my dad's giving me his tickets, and to buy another club-level ticket for a one-year-old is probably not worth the money. So I'm working on it. This is like parent problems, all right? But I'd like to go just because it's homecoming.
They make you pay for a one-year-old?
Well, yeah, and I thought it was kind of ridiculous at first, but
can't they fly until they're like for free until they're like two or three?
you would think so, and they said, "Well, actually, it's not fair to people around you whenever you have a baby in your lap, but you've got a diaper bag and all this other stuff, whatever you're bringing, that's crowding all the spots around you." I was like, "Well, what if I don't bring anything?" And yeah, it turned out that we pretty much used the seat the entire time for whatever crap that we feel like we need everywhere we take them. So I understand it. My buddy that goes to OU games said it's the same thing there. So tough to argue now.
Which game did you, I can't remember, you told me, but which game did you end up taking him to?
Kansas State.
Oh yeah. You mentioned that. And it was last year that your wife was pregnant and you took her, and it was like you sort of like there could have been an emergency birth at the game. Which game was that?
That was West Virginia. So she was 39 weeks, and you know, it was weird because it was, I mean, she'll go to games with me, but she's not some type of diehard fan or anything. So midweek that week, she walks into my office at home, and she says, "Does OSU play this weekend?" I said, "Yeah." Like, that's weird. She said, "Well, is it at home?" I'm thinking, "Yes." She goes, "We should go." Who are you? Like, it was a pregnant whore. Like, her hormones must have been pulling her all different directions. But I said, "Can't, like, can you? Like, you're supposed to be early, and you're already 39 weeks. What's going on?" And she says, "I don't care. We're not going to stop living just because we're having a kid." And like, okay. So we went, and it was really hot. Everybody was off. It was late October, and it was really hot. It was like 90-something that day.
Brutally and, hot.
Yes, it was. It was rough. And the game was awful. And then that night she went into labor. So I don't know. I'm going to credit that to OSU's performance against West Virginia last year.
If she starts going into labor, I mean, at that point, are you just like rooting for it? So you have your kids born in Boone Pickens Stadium, or?
Oh, dude, I was pulling for it ever since whenever she asked to go to the game. I'm like, this could be legendary, right? Like, who gets to have their kid in Boone Pickens Stadium? And our, one of the nurses from our hospital who did like our class beforehand that they tell you have to take, she's a diehard OSU and she goes to all the games. So I had her number ready and I was like, we got this. Like,
oh, beautiful.
I was picking a spot up there in the club level. All right, this is it right here. We got plenty of space. Just ready to call for a doctor and get this thing going and pop him out, watch the rest of the game, and go home, right?
Pop him out, watch the rest of the game, and go home.
That's how easy it is.
Amelian, while we had you on, I want to ask you, I don't know if I'm sure we've talked about this on a podcast before, but since Evan Epstein has brought us millions of new listeners, I want to talk about the story about the time that we played Brandon Whedon's softball team in Stillwater at the KD Shamrock softball tournament.
Well, this never gets old, so let's do it.
what's your most distinct memory of that game?
It's funny. I don't have like an actual. Well, actually, okay, I do remember. Just some bombs hitting off Quade. And that one that, was it Whedon that hit that one off of him? But it was just, I mean, it was like a mile high. It just came down like right at the fence line.
Yeah. Okay. So Whedon hit a ball that was legitimately, Carson, probably 400 feet, a softball.
Yeah. No, that's,
I mean, like,
not unrealistic.
Yeah. I'm not trying to be hyperbolic there. Like, it was probably 400 feet. And we get to the end of the game. We're up by like two or something. Bases loaded, and Whedon comes up, and the pitcher Quade is trying to walk him. Like, he's like throwing balls like way outside. Whedon steps across the plate. There's two outs. Steps across the plate and pulls a ball that's like 3 feet outside and hits it like Amelian said, probably 600 feet in the air. It comes down 2 feet in front of the fence, and I catch it, and we end up beating Whedon and Alex Kate. Alex Kate, I think his dip was rivaling like a Jason Duffner dip that day.
That's not surprising.
It was unreal.
What version of Whedon was this? Was this walk-on Whedon? Was this backup Whedon? Was this starter Whedon?
I think it was walk-on Whedon, like 2008.
It was walk-on Whedon because, yeah, it was 08, 09, right around that time frame.
Okay.
Yeah. And, like, the other crazy thing about this, we brag about winning a softball game, but we were a group of MBA grad students. I'm trying to think back to who all was on that team. We weren't crazy athletic. Hey, it's not all about talent. You know, we willed ourselves to a win.
The best part of that whole thing was Carson. You know, Quade, our buddy.
Yeah.
He pitched the entire time, and he would put on like this heavy coat just on his his right arm in between innings.
Like Tom Glavine back in the day.
I'm like, you're throwing underhanded, bro. He's like, hey, got to keep it loose. I got to keep my wing loose.
It's like, dude, I got Whedon in the box. I got to keep warm here.
Quade was definitely the best thing about that game.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
That's a spectacular Stillwater story. Yeah, you'd always run across athletes in random places like that.
Yeah, it is true. It was a great story, great time.
Yeah, I remember you guys just talked about Whedon on the podcast this week, and I'm with you. Like, I feel so bad for the guy. And then, yeah, Landry throws two lucky touchdowns. Carson talked about that. Like, come on. Like,
well, isn't it set up perfectly for, like, Dez to come back for Matt Cassel, and Matt Cassel just starts throwing balls up and Dez just scores? Isn't that the way Whedon's luck goes?
I mean, that's what's going to happen, I think.
Right? Dez will just come back, and then Cassel will just keep the job till Romo's back?
Yeah, I'm like, well, shoot, Zach Robinson threw lobs to Dez, so... I like Zach, don't get me wrong, but, man, it's like, God, we can't – we're so close to this Whedon to Dez thing, and it's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
It's depressing.
It's true. The what if that's going to lead off my my book that I'm never going to write is Blackman, Dez, and Ryan Broyles could have all been in the same
– receiver core.
Yep.
Well, that's just – a sad note to end on.
Amelian, any parting thoughts?
Is this all written down on your podcast agenda for today?
No.
This our staple season got to bring up the Whedon broil.
We have no agenda. We're making this up as we go. Has there been any takes? You've kind of distanced yourself from the blog. Has there been any takes that you've disagreed with this year?
I feel like there has, and nothing blatant comes to mind. I mean, don't get me wrong. I still follow. I still read the blog. Yeah, my involvement's gone down a little bit, but I miss it at times. No, I mean, I've been right there with you on Rudolph. I'm still in. Like, he's still the truth, as you're calling him, and. And I'm liking the way that they're using Walsh in the offense. I think it's a stretch to call him an offensive MVP at this point. But
did
I don't know.
Call him that?
Yeah. Who? Maybe Carson can help me out here. Who wrote that? It was either someone for the Tulsa World or the Oklahoman.
Oh, and I can't recall.
Well, and it's like, come on. I mean, he's got a pretty good gig. If you're not going to be the starting quarterback, and I'm stealing from the sports animal, actually. He's not going to be the starting quarterback. The backup who gets put in positions to score is not a bad spot to be in, you know. But he's done really well. And I don't think that's your narrative that you've pushed by any means. So, none to say. I wish I had something better for you to disagree on right now.
Being J.W. Walsh is like being a dad. Like Rudolph does all the hard work, like the mom, and then Walsh just gets to have fun. Like, he just comes in and scores.
Well, it's worked out for both parties, because he very easily could have transferred, so at least he's getting to play, and he's playing an important role, so it helps everybody, really.
Yeah, I think we're all in there. But no, what are some of your main, I guess, thoughts on the season? Kind of go over them real quick. I mean, I know you've posted a lot about, you know, this is just the way the okay, here's one here. So are you all in on the, yes, keep trying to run the ball first and then try to figure out the passing game after, or are you more on the other side of, you know, we can't run it, let's pass it and then try to open things up that way for the run?
I want to pass it more. I think that The thing I don't get, and I was thinking about this today because there was a really good post on Cowboys Ride for Free about the running game schemes. It's like, why are we not, when we run it, spreading the field with four wide? Like why are we why is Oklahoma State insistent on having this cowboy back to muddle things up? It's like, either spread it out and run it or just throw it. I mean, like the Kansas State game and I don't know. I'm fine. I want them to throw it more. I do understand though why they run it, because there's fewer turnovers. You don't have to. You don't get a bad bounce on a pick and you know, stuff like that. So I'm for throwing it more, but I think more understanding than most about why they continue to try to run it.
Okay. So I thought that there was something that I read a while back that was kind of disagreed on, but I'm with you. You got to be able to run the ball at some point. However, I don't think that it's wrong to say let's be a pass first type team. Is that not what West Virginia kind of did? They beat us deep a couple times, and we had to pull our safeties back. It opened things up a little bit for them to run better, and probably along the lines of what Carson referenced earlier to Gundy saying that they just got tired as the game went on.
Yeah.
Or maybe are we still being conservative because we're sitting at 6-0 and you got Kansas coming up, waiting to I hate saying this, but like waiting to truly open it up until you go to Tech and you got your brutal November slate.
I think Mike Gundy's fallen in love with his defense. I think there's a reason I want to print T-shirts, make OK State air raid again. Would you buy one of those, Matt, if I made those?
Man, I probably wouldn't. I love
no?
you, but no. No.
You just complained about the offense, and you don't want one? Fine, I'm not cold calling you ever again.
No. I didn't complain about – I think air raid's a we still ran the ball really well. I mean, Baylor's an air – you call them air raid, of course, but they still run the ball really well. So if that's your – I guess that's what you're saying on air raid, then yeah.
Dana Holgorsen ran the ball really well when he was at OSU. That's just – it comes with it, but – they're not running the football out of the air raid. They're running out of this goofy cowboy back tight end 1998 NFL offense.
I've got some Choo Choo shirts if either of you want to buy some.
still have those in stock, do you? That's a surprise. I love you. I may not buy the T-shirt, but I might support the overall cost.
Okay, I got you.
Okay, Million, we got to wrap this up. We got to call OKC Dave still, but we appreciate you. We appreciate you answering. That was good. We didn't know what we were gonna do if you didn't answer.
I know it's tough to fill that quality time. Well, good talking to you guys.
Okay, Million. Talk
see you, Matt.
More.
See ya.
I'm glad he answered as well. That would have been kind of weird if he hadn't. We'll see if OKC Dave does.
ECF Toys, this is David.
OKC Dave, what's up, man? This is Carson and Kyle.
What's going on?
That was great.
What's going on?
That was solid. Did you catch that, Carson?
What did he say?
He said BCF Toys, the website that we frequent.
I still don't know what the hell BCF Toys is.
Yeah, you and bet everybody else. That's Brian Fremo's advanced stats site, right? Like,
yeah, correct. It's
if your wives see that on the history, have questions.
Yeah, you might want to. I'll
check it out though.
Might want to erase that one. Dave, how's it going, man?
Going well. Going well. Glad to be on the podcast again.
Yeah, it's we had you on standby with Chelf a couple weeks ago, but it's good to have you as a like an actual guest.
You know, I don't mind being bumped by a former OSU grade. That's just fine.
Are you working? What are you up to?
I am working, and I need to be off this call in about 15 minutes. So, but yes, I am at work.
Okay,
we can do that. 6-0. Is this like the worst 6-0 team you've ever seen, or how are you feeling about this season?
Yeah, I think no question. I'm still not very confident, and even the defense a little bit. I feel like we're overrating to some degree. I think we're going to be less than pleasantly surprised when we play Baylor and TCU. But I mean, it's been fun. I mean, it's been a fun year, so certainly not complaining. I just don't. I'm not among those getting my expectations up that we're going to win the Big 12 or anything like that.
You're a stats guy. Do the stats bear out that we're kind of overrating the defense, or do they just not enough sample size against good teams to know yet?
Well, I think that's partly it. It's interesting. Like, in fact, Kyle and I exchanged texts about, like, you know, the best advanced stats sites. And I mean, the ones I like the most are that one that Kyle mentioned, the BCF Toys, and then also Bill Connolly's system. It's called S&P Plus, and both of those look at, you know, play-by-play data and also drive data, which I think is the best way to look at it. And they take out all the garbage time stuff, so it's really good. And both of them kind of, more of the S&P site, our defense is like ranked somewhere in the 30s, which is kind of like, it doesn't jive with what we've been seeing. I mean, in my opinion, our defense is probably a little better than in the 30s, but it does kind of give you, it makes you pause a little bit and think, well, maybe we're not quite looking at this appropriately. So I think we're just not, I mean, obviously we're not as good as our record indicates. I mean, we could easily be 4-2. But I think we're probably, I mean, I think we're probably a top 25 team. We're like a 20 to 25 team, but we're not number 12.
Isn't it weird though? Like all three of us sort of grew up when Oklahoma State was, I mean, if they were 6-0, we'd be just dancing in the streets of Edmond and Oklahoma City and stuff. And it's like, we find all these, I mean, Oklahoma State's averaging 37 points a game. It's like 21st in the country. And everybody's like, the offense is, you know, it's hellacious. Like, we got to do something. I mean, isn't that a weird thing in 2015?
Yeah, it is. I mean, I think it's just, I mean, I think Gundy talked about this. He said, you know, we kind of created this monster. Now we got to feed it. So, I mean, that's the reality of the situation. And I do remember in 1997, were we 5-0 or 6-0? I'm trying to remember now, but I remember.
We got to 6.
Okay, and yeah, that was just unheard of. I mean, it was like, yeah, we were so happy to be there, and it's kind of funny. Like, I almost think the finish of this season might be kind of like that one, where it's like we're 6-0 and we could finish, you know, with 9 wins or something like that. But you know, yeah, I do. I guess I feel for the coaches to some degree that that people are, especially Yurcich, like tearing him apart still. I've been pretty satisfied with what he's done this year. I mean, when you basically announce out loud that Kansas State can't run the ball, and we still are able to move it on them, that's pretty impressive to me.
Yeah, I was speaking of that 1997 season. We talked about it on the podcast. Like, do you remember what it was like to see a little number next to OSU's name? Like they had a 21 next to their name. That was like winning the BCS title back in 1997.
It was, and I think we got up in the top 15 at one point. I mean, it was amazing. It was like, yeah, you couldn't believe what you were seeing. And that was when Lindsey was like, what, a freshman, wasn't he? Isn't that right?
Yeah, they beat Texas at home. That was the last time they had beaten Texas in Stillwater, I believe.
Yeah. Oh, man, that was so exciting. I have a couple. Do you have any? I got a question for you, Kyle.
Okay.
Can you articulate what, when you repeatedly called Mason Rudolph the truth, what does that mean to you?
Yeah, that's a good question. I feel like the tables are being turned on my own podcast here. it was really just like a random Thursday night that I couldn't come up with anything else to call him, and so I just figured the truth was this. I mean, you know, it's Paul. Is it Paul Pierce's nickname, or was there somebody before him that had it?
I think it's Pierce. And didn't who gave that to him? Was that Shaq, or who gave Paul Pierce that nickname?
Was it Shaq?
Or maybe it was Barkley. I don't know. I'm not in front of my computer right now, so I can't look it up.
Yeah, and so I feel like he's just got, you know, I think that Pierce is somebody who he's not like the most talented dude ever. He's not like, you know, he's not built like KD, can't, you know, whatever, but like he gets it done when it counts. And I feel like Rudolph has that thing that, I don't know, that other guys that have played before him, you know, like Dax and even Shelf and Walsh don't have. Like, he's just got it, and you can just tell, you can see it. He makes mistakes. He's not Brandon Wheaton, but he's really good. And I just feel like, I don't know. I just feel like it's a fitting nickname for kind of how he's performed so far. Because to me, it's you know, I don't think of Paul Pierce or somebody who's the truth as the best player in the country or the best player in the world. But I think of them as somebody who you can count on, who's clutch, who gets it done when it matters.
So it's interesting you brought up Chelsea, because I feel like I was kind of talking about this with a friend yesterday. You know, the recent quarterbacks, like, who do you felt most confident whenever they're out there on the field? I mean, Wheaton is clearly the best. But I felt, for some reason with Chelsea, I felt pretty confident when he was out there, like that he wasn't going to make a mistake. I wasn't like afraid every time he dropped back to pass. And with Rudolph, I still have a little bit of that. Like, I mean, he's thrown enough interceptions that I'm scared, you know, whenever he drops back that he's going to make a mistake. And maybe that's unfair because he's still, you know, fairly young, but I don't know. I feel like Whedon would be first. Walsh and Chelf, I feel like, you know, they're pretty solid back there, but I don't know. Rudolph is not there for me quite yet. How do you feel about that?
First off, who made you the most afraid before we go back to the Rudolph in OSU history?
In OSU history, wow.
I know there's a long list here.
There's a string of them in there, like, you know, Bowling and Haluka. And, you know, I mean, like, I mean, I guess Kate's short history. But no,
Kate's,
I mean,
up there.
I mean, Donovan wasn't exactly awe-inspiring.
Yeah, really? Garmin.
Donovan Woods dropped back to about 8 times. He only had to be scared about 8 times.
So, speaking of Kate, I feel like if he's still an OSU fan, which I'm sure he is at this point, and he listens to your podcast, I feel like he's just waiting for his name to come up on this podcast. And every time he's like, damn it, you know.
It's like they brought up the damn Colorado game again. Jeez.
It's like Bill Simmons bringing up the James Harden trade every time.
I mean, can't those guys realize I practice better than Brandon? Come on.
I see what you're saying, Dave, about the Rudolph thing, about him throwing picks. I do think there's such a difference between him at home and on the road. I mean, if you look at his road numbers against his home numbers, he hadn't thrown very many picks at home. And now he'll throw 4 against Kansas this weekend. But he's been really, really good at home. And I don't know. I think that I agree with you about Chelf. Just thinking about, like, his, you know, him coming in, like, he made, I guess, what, you know, part of it is I feel like Rudolph makes a lot of the right decisions. He just makes bad throws, and there's not everybody you can say they make the correct decision almost every time. Chelf did. Whedon pretty much always did, but I feel like that's part of his, you know, what makes him really good.
Yeah, I'm excited about him too. And I don't, I mean, I'm not like saying I'm down on him or anything like that. I'm very excited about the future with Mr. Rudolph. And I think he'll correct some of the stuff he's been, you know, mistakes he's been making. But anyway, I had a theory too about at Texas. Like, did you guys notice if it's in the Texas game? It was really hot that game, especially down in the field.
Oh, I was down there. I was cooking alive, yeah.
And he was grasping for that towel that was, you know, strapped to his waist, whatever, every chance he got. So I'm wondering, like, does he have an issue gripping the ball? Like, maybe, are his hands not that big? Carson, maybe, you know, you've seen him. I don't know. I mean, like, check his hands next time. There's something going on there. Because remember, he could not hold on to the ball that game. So I thought, well, maybe his hands were sweating or something like that. I don't know.
He's got Alex Smith hands.
Isn't that a sketch? Someone had like really sweaty hands. Maybe he just has a sweating problem. But no, Dave, it was brutally hot. And I remember after the first touchdown he threw, where he kind of just ran around for a little while and just threw it up to Shepard, I went over to the sideline behind the bench to like get some video. And he was like head down with like an ice towel draped over his head. It looked like he had been in like a 12-round boxing match, and it was only after the first touchdown of the game. I was like, man, I knew it was hot, but he looked like he was really dealing with the heat. He's from South Carolina. It gets hot over there,
It's not like he's from like Maine or something.
I know. So I think there's something to. I'll give him a firm handshake next time I see him, Dave, and test out the hand strength.
Yeah, break a ruler and just see what he says. Yeah.
Did you ever shake Dez's hand, Carson?
I did not. I still have use of my hand because I didn't. His hands were legendary.
Yeah. Nolan Cox used to tell me a story because he shook his hand a couple times and he said it was a joke. Like, Nolan's got the biggest hands I've ever seen.
Yeah, and Nolan's like, what, 6'8", 6'9"?
No, he's like 6'6". He'll tell you 6'6". He's actually 6'5".
Oh. Maybe that's his brother.
Did you ever shake Peterson's hand?
Nope, I heard not to. I know people that have though, and they say like it physically like hurt them for like a couple weeks. Is how hard he shook his hand, how hard his grip was, which is amazing because even Adrian Peterson has fumbled a lot in the NFL.
Yeah,
And people, every time he does, people bring up the fact he has like the most ridiculous handshake ever.
Dave, what's been, real quick, I know we got to get you out of here, but what's been your least favorite narrative about this Oklahoma State team so far this year?
Do you mean least favorite in that, in like, I'm annoyed when the media brings it up?
Yeah, or you feel like stats prove that it's not true, or any of those things. Or maybe it's just brought up too often. Maybe it's Alex Cate.
Well, okay. How about, and this is just off the top of my head, we continually talk about how awesome our receivers are, and I do think they're good, but I think that maybe is a little overstated. I mean, we have guys who can't catch the ball at times, you know, so it's not like, I would almost rather take a Blackmon, like a tremendous receiver and a few capable backups rather than a stable of guys who are pretty good. I mean, it's like, I'm not saying we have any bad receivers. I'm not going to point, you know, name any names or anything or like that. But I mean, I don't know that we have even like, I guess I will name a name, even like Aitman, the guy who's kind of been the coachy guy lately. Like, I mean, I don't feel like he's a, you know, 100%, you know, a choice whenever we need a third and long or something like that. So, I feel like we have a bunch of good guys, but I don't think that translates to, wow, we have such a great offense because of these receivers. So I think that maybe that's a little overstated. I kind of roll my eyes whenever I see that. I'm trying to think of any other. So what do you guys think about that?
I think you're right. I mean, as great as Aitman's been, he's had a lot of drops. And I think that's possibly hurt Mason and some of his interceptions and stuff, guys not being exactly where they're supposed to be on routes as well. So I don't think you're very far off on that. I've pumped up the receiver core all year. I still think they're really good. I think they're top two or three in the Big 12. But you're right. They're not. There's no, like, elite guy to where, you know, they're just, you know, throw it 60 times a game or anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I'm most comfortable when he throws it to Glidden. I feel like that's, you know, automatic. And
he had a big drop against West Virginia.
He did.
So you're right.
Yeah, I got one more thing. I'm sorry, Kyle, before I run off. I wanted to I thought about this the other day when you guys were talking about Sarkisian at USC. And one of you made a comment, like, oh, imagine what if this happened with Gundy. But, like, we kind of did have this situation with Eddie, right? I mean
– Yeah, you're right.
I mean, and that happened before the kind of social media age, but I mean, it would be interesting to imagine that happening now, what it would be like. But I mean, a lot of people forget, you know, when he had his car wreck, I mean, he was on the way to the team plane, right? I mean, to go to College Station.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was going to happen. He was going to be amongst players, which leads me to believe that it probably wasn't the first time, which, I mean, I'm not trying to, like, I love Eddie, but I mean, it kind of did happen, and it's kind of crazy that it did happen when you think back on it.
Yeah, I think it's really crazy, and I think my point was more what you just said of, like, it happened, like, there was, like, two, like, three blogs, like, that existed. It was, like, Deadspin and, like, you know, two others. Like, there wasn't...
It was pre-Twitter as well,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Twitter was 07, 08, something like that. It was just not, like... I don't know. Everything just gets blown up so big in this day in 2015. And yeah, I mean, it is crazy. It's crazy that it happened, and it's almost crazy that it didn't get more attention. And maybe I just wasn't paying close, you know, maybe I wasn't paying close enough attention to it. And part of that is you don't, you know, if you're the Oklahoman or Tulsa world, you don't want to be salacious, and you have to cover it in the right way and whatever. But If there's Twitter and Facebook and whatever, like, it's, you know, all systems go. Like, people can just say whatever they want. And I don't know. It would be crazy if that had happened 6 years later or 8 years later or whatever.
Definitely. And I think, I mean, the fact that he was allowed to keep his job through the year is you know, I mean, it's testament to how big he was at OSU at that time and for the previous decade. Because, I mean, we had a coach that, I mean, well, we don't need to, I mean, everyone knows what happened, but, like, that, there's no way he survives. A normal coach would have survived the week, you know? I mean,
do you think Travis Ford would survive the week?
Holder might be setting up that scenario so that he could fire him with cause. I mean, that's in the cards, I think.
Wait, did he, so Eddie kept his job, but, like, Sean finished the year. Was he just, like, temporary leave of absence. What was the official title? I don't remember with Eddie.
I don't remember what the official title was, but he was officially the coach through that year. As a matter of fact.
Oh yeah, he got the wins, right?
Yeah, he did.
Wow,
yeah.
I forgot about that.
I mean, okay, real quick though. Imagine Sean. He's on that plane, or he's out there, and they call him and say, "Hey, your dad just had a wreck. Oh, and oh, by the way, he was drunk, and he's going to the hospital. Hey, you need to go coach this team in college." Like, did that happen? Like, seriously, isn't that insane?
Did they win that game?
I don't think so.
Was that the AC Law years at A&M?
I believe it was. But
Joseph Jones. Yeah, it is crazy. It's I didn't even think about that when I was talking about Sarkisian, because I don't think of college basketball until like December anyway. But yeah, it really is insane that happened and that it was not that long ago, really.
Yeah. All right. Sorry, guys. I didn't want to leave on a somber note there, but I do have to run. So thanks for calling.
Yeah, Dave. Appreciate it. We'll call you again once Travis Ford takes his annual place on the hot seat.
Dave, real quick. Yeah. What do the stats say? What's OSU's finishing record, real quick?
Well, I don't know what the stats say, but I stick with my begin of season. I think we get 9 wins.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. I think it's 9 or 10, probably.
I'm with you. All thanks, right, Dave.
All right, see ya.
Bye.
That was fun. 2 calls in 1 day. That was pretty good.
Dave and Evan just need to have their own show, and you and I need to I don't know.
I can't wait till Dave and Evan have the number one podcast in the country. And we're middling down in the hundreds. I can't wait.
Okay, Carson, have fun this weekend. Enjoy OU Tech, and we will talk to you beginning of next week.
I will DVR the magnificent matchup of OSU Kansas.
Yeah, so you might want to just set that for like an hour. Like that might be all you can take of that.
All right, I'll make sure it only lasts an hour. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay.